Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled The Poisoned Legacy. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1. A Calculated Arrival. The sun was just beginning its descent when Eleanor Kane arrived at Harrington Manor. The sprawling estate, tucked away behind wrought iron gates and manicured hedges, loomed against the horizon like a monument to an empire built on secrets and ambition. Dressed in a tailored navy blue suit that exuded both confidence and humility, Eleanor stepped out of the sleek town car and into a world she had dreamed of conquering for years. Walter Harrington's assistant, a middle-aged woman named Claire, greeted her at the door. Claire's demeanor was polite but guarded, her eyes scanning Eleanor with the precision of someone used to reading people. Eleanor smiled warmly, careful not to appear too eager. "This way, Miss Kane," Claire said, her heels clicking against the polished marble floor as she led Eleanor through the grand foyer. The walls were adorned with oil paintings, and the air carried the faint scent of aged wood and something floral, perhaps lavender. "Mr. Harrington is in the library. He doesn't like to be kept waiting." Eleanor nodded, suppressing the flicker of unease in her chest. She couldn't afford to falter now, not when she was so close. Walter Harrington sat in a high-backed leather chair, his frail frame almost swallowed by the massive desk in front of him. Despite his physical frailty, his presence was commanding, his piercing blue eyes sharp as they assessed Eleanor. His thinning silver hair gleamed under the warm light of the library chandelier. "You're younger than I expected," he said, his voice gravelly but firm. Eleanor tilted her head slightly, a practiced gesture meant to convey both respect and a hint of vulnerability. "I hope my age won't be a disadvantage, Mr. Harrington. I've always believed that determination and capability matter more than years." Walter chuckled, a dry, raspy sound. "Determination and capability, you say? We'll see about that." He gestured for her to sit. Eleanor took her seat, careful to maintain perfect posture. This wasn't just a job interview. It was an audition for a role in the grand drama she intended to direct. The interview proceeded with rapid-fire questions, Walter testing her knowledge of his business empire, her problem-solving skills, and her ability to think on her feet. Eleanor anticipated each query, her answers smooth and calculated without seeming rehearsed. By the time Claire reappeared with tea, Walter was leaning back in his chair, a glimmer of approval in his eyes. "You're sharp," he admitted, "perhaps sharper than is comfortable. But I suppose that's not a bad thing." Eleanor allowed a modest smile. "I take that as a compliment, sir." That evening, Eleanor was shown to her quarters, a spacious room in the east wing of the manor, far more luxurious than she had expected. As she unpacked, she mentally catalogued her surroundings, noting the small details that might prove useful later. Dinner was a formal affair, attended by Walter, Claire, and a few other staff members. Eleanor carefully observed each of them, her mind already working to identify potential allies and threats. Claire seemed loyal but cautious, while the head groundskeeper, a burly man named Howard, appeared indifferent. The cook, a jovial older woman named Martha, could likely be charmed with a bit of kindness. Walter, however, dominated the room. Even in his declining years, he carried himself with the air of a man used to being obeyed. As the conversation drifted to lighter topics, he turned to Eleanor with a question that caught her off guard. "What do you think about loyalty, Miss Kane?" Eleanor hesitated, just long enough to make her response seem thoughtful. "I believe loyalty is earned, not given," she said carefully. "And it must go both ways to be truly meaningful." Walter nodded slowly, his gaze lingering on her as if trying to decipher the truth behind her words. "Wise answer," he said at last. "But remember this, loyalty can also be a weapon. Wield it wisely." The words hung in the air, heavy with meaning. Eleanor met his gaze steadily, her heart racing. This was her first real test, and she couldn't afford to fail. Later that night, Eleanor stood by the window in her room, staring out at the moonlit grounds. She had passed the first hurdle, but the real work was only beginning. Walter Harrington was no fool, and neither were the people around him. But Eleanor Kane hadn't come this far to be outplayed. She would earn his trust one careful step at a time, and when the time was right, she would take everything he had built. As the clock chimed midnight, Eleanor turned away from the window, a small, satisfied smile playing on her lips. The game had begun, and Eleanor Kane never lost. Chapter 2: Shadows of the Past. The soft glow of dawn painted Harrington Manor in hues of gold and amber, but Eleanor Kane was already awake, sipping coffee by the window of her suite. She studied the manicured gardens below, her mind a relentless churn of plans and contingencies. She'd made it into Walter Harrington's world, but staying there, and taking what she wanted, would require flawless execution. A soft knock at the door interrupted her thoughts. She set her cup down and crossed the room, smoothing her robe as she opened the door to find Claire. "Good morning, Miss Kane. Mr. Harrington requests your presence in the study at 10, Claire said, her tone polite but clipped. Claire was a seasoned gatekeeper, and Eleanor knew she'd need to tread carefully around her.
"Thank you, Claire. I'll be there."
Claire nodded, her eyes lingering on Eleanor for a beat too long before she turned and walked away. Eleanor closed the door, her expression hardening. Claire would bear watching. She was perceptive, and perceptive people were dangerous. Walter's study was a testament to his life's work, filled with artifacts and books that spoke to his ambition and success. When Eleanor entered, she found him poring over papers at his desk, the morning light casting deep shadows across his face. "Sit," he said without looking up. Eleanor obeyed, waiting silently as he finished scribbling a note. Finally, he looked up, his sharp blue eyes locking onto hers. "Do you know why I hired you, Miss Kane?" Eleanor tilted her head slightly, her expression carefully curious. "I'd like to think it's because you saw potential in me." Walter smirked. "Potential, yes. But also because I like to gamble, and you're an interesting bet. People like you don't end up in places like this without a reason. So tell me, what's yours?" The question caught her off guard, but Eleanor recovered quickly. She leaned forward, her tone earnest. "I've worked hard to get here, Mr. Harrington. I saw this as an opportunity to learn from the best and to prove myself. Nothing more, nothing less." Walter studied her for a long moment, his expression unreadable. Then he nodded, seemingly satisfied for now.
"Good.
Let's see how far your determination takes you." That afternoon, Eleanor ventured into the library, ostensibly to familiarize herself with the household's inner workings, but in reality to gather information. The library was vast, its shelves lined with books and files that offered a glimpse into Walter's empire. She was engrossed in a ledger when a voice startled her. "Looking for something?" She turned to see Victor Marshall leaning against the doorway, his arms crossed. His tailored suit and polished demeanor screamed confidence, but there was an edge to his gaze that set Eleanor on edge. "Just familiarizing myself with Mr. Harrington's affairs," Eleanor said smoothly, closing the ledger. "It's important to understand the bigger picture if I'm going to be useful to him." Victor's lips curved into a faint smirk, but it didn't reach his eyes.
"Is that so?
And here I thought you were just another opportunist looking to climb the ladder." Eleanor met his gaze evenly, refusing to be intimidated. "You're entitled to your opinion, Mr. Marshall. But I assure you I'm here to do my job, and to do it well." Victor pushed off the doorway and took a step closer, his expression darkening.
"Let me give you a piece of advice.
Walter Harrington doesn't trust easily, and neither do I. If you have ulterior motives, I'll find out." Eleanor forced a smile, masking the unease curling in her stomach.
"Thank you for the advice.
I'll keep it in mind." As Victor left, Eleanor exhaled slowly, her mind racing. Victor was a threat, and she'd need to neutralize him, carefully. That evening, Eleanor was unpacking a box of personal belongings when her phone buzzed with a notification. She picked it up,
her heart skipping a beat when she saw the message. "We need to talk. It's urgent. Lila." Eleanor's hand tightened around the phone. Lila Graves was a ghost from a life she tried to bury, a life filled with secrets and mistakes that could destroy everything she was building. Ignoring Lila wasn't an option, but engaging with her was just as dangerous. After a moment's hesitation, Eleanor replied, "Tomorrow. Same place as before." The next day, Eleanor drove into the city under the guise of running errands. She parked in a quiet alley and entered a small cafe, scanning the room until she spotted Lila in a corner booth. Lila was striking, her dark hair framing a face that was equal parts alluring and dangerous. She looked up as Eleanor approached, a sly smile playing on her lips. "Eleanor Kane," Lila said, her voice dripping with mock affection. "Or should I say, Miss Perfect Assistant? You've certainly upgraded since the last time I saw you. What do you want, Lila?" Eleanor asked, sliding into the booth. Lila leaned forward, her smile fading. "You know what I want. I need money, and you're in a position to help." Eleanor's jaw tightened. "I told you before. I don't owe you anything." "Oh, but you do," Lila said, her voice soft but venomous. "You wouldn't be where you are now without me. And if you think I won't tell your precious Mr. Harrington about your little indiscretions, think again." Eleanor's mind raced. She couldn't afford for Walter or anyone else to learn about her past. But giving in to Lila's demands would only embolden her. "I'll give you something," Eleanor said finally. "But it ends here. If you come back again, there won't be anything left for you to take." Lila smirked, clearly enjoying her victory. "Smart girl. I'll be in touch." As Eleanor left the cafe, she felt the walls of her carefully constructed world closing in. Lila was a loose thread, and loose threads had a way of unraveling everything. Back at Harrington Manor, Eleanor stood in her room, staring at the reflection in the ornate mirror. She had fought too hard and sacrificed too much to let her past destroy her. If Lila or Victor wanted a fight, they'd get one. The question was whether Eleanor could keep her secrets buried long enough to win. Chapter 3, The Will. The morning began with a subtle shift in the atmosphere at Harrington Manor. Claire's usual clipped efficiency was tinged with an unspoken tension, and even the household staff seemed more subdued than usual. Eleanor Kane noticed everything. Her instincts told her that today would bring a significant development, though she couldn't yet predict what it would be. Walter Harrington summoned her to the study shortly after breakfast. This was nothing unusual. Eleanor had become a fixture in his day-to-day operations, but the tone of Claire's message carried an edge of urgency. When Eleanor entered the study, Walter was seated at his desk, his expression thoughtful as he leafed through a stack of papers. Beside him stood Victor Marshall, his stance rigid and his gaze fixed on Eleanor with undisguised suspicion. "Ah, Eleanor," Walter said, gesturing for her to sit. "We need to discuss something important." Eleanor took her seat, her face a perfect mask of calm curiosity, though her mind was already working overtime. Victor's presence was a complication. Whatever this meeting was about, it wouldn't be simple. Walter leaned back in his chair, steepling his fingers. "I've been thinking about the future," he began. "As you know, I have no family to inherit my estate. My wealth, my legacy. It all needs a steward, someone I trust." Eleanor's heart quickened, but she kept her expression neutral. "That's a weighty decision, Mr. Harrington. I'm sure you'll choose wisely." Walter chuckled dryly. "I don't need flattery, Eleanor. What I need is someone who understands the value of what I've built and has the intelligence to protect it." His gaze rested on her, sharp and probing. Eleanor met it steadily, her pulse hammering in her ears. This was the moment she had been working toward, but the stakes were higher than she had anticipated. Victor spoke up, his voice laced with skepticism. "Walter, are you sure this is the best course of action? It's unconventional, to say the least." Walter waved a dismissive hand. "Bear me the lecture, Victor. I've made up my mind." He turned his attention back to Eleanor. I'm revising my will to name you as my primary heir. The words hung in the air like a bombshell. Eleanor felt a surge of triumph, but she suppressed it immediately. Instead, she allowed her eyes to widen in what she hoped looked like surprise and humility. Mr. Harrington, I don't know what to say. This is an incredible honor. Don't thank me yet, Walter said, his tone dry. This isn't a gift. It's a responsibility. If you can't handle it, I'll know soon enough. Victor's jaw tightened, his displeasure barely concealed. Walter, this decision will raise questions. It could even invite legal challenges. Walter shrugged. Let them challenge it. I've made my choice. The rest of the meeting passed in a blur for Eleanor. She answered Walter's questions and nodded at Victor's barely veiled warnings, all the while calculating her next moves. She had won a major victory, but the battle was far from over. When she finally left the study, her hands were trembling. She clenched them into fists, forcing herself to focus. This was what she had wanted, but with the inheritance came new risks. Victor would undoubtedly do everything in his power to undermine her, and she couldn't afford to slip. That evening, Eleanor retreated to her room, the weight of the day pressing down on her. She poured herself a glass of wine and stared at the moonlit gardens outside her window. She should have felt elation, but instead, a creeping unease settled over her. Her phone buzzed, breaking her thoughts. It was a message from Lila. Big news. Congrats on the will. I'll be in touch. Eleanor's grip tightened on the glass, the wine sloshing dangerously close to the rim. Lila was watching her, perhaps even from within the manor itself. The thought sent a chill down her spine. As if on cue, there was a knock at her door. Eleanor set the glass down and composed herself before opening it to find Victor standing there, his expression cold. Victor, she said, forcing a smile. What can I do for you? He stepped inside without waiting for an invitation, his presence filling the room with tension. Let's skip the pleasantries, Eleanor. I don't trust you, and I never will. Eleanor folded her arms, keeping her tone steady. I'm sorry you feel that way, but Mr. Harrington seems to trust me, and that's what matters. Victor's eyes narrowed. Do you honestly think you can pull this off? Whatever game you're playing, it won't end well for you. Eleanor stepped closer, her voice dropping to a whisper. I'm not playing a game, Victor. I'm doing exactly what I was hired to do, taking care of Mr. Harrington's interests. If you have a problem with that, I suggest you take it up with him. Victor stared at her for a long moment before turning on his heel and leaving. Eleanor closed the door behind him, her hands trembling again. Victor was dangerous, but she couldn't let him intimidate her. She had come too far to back down now. The next morning, Walter's lawyer arrived to finalize the changes to his will. Eleanor watched from a distance as the papers were signed, her heart pounding with a mix of excitement and fear. She was now the primary heir to Walter Harrington's vast fortune, but the target on her back had never been larger. As the lawyer left, Walter caught Eleanor's eye and beckoned her over. You've got a lot to prove now, he said, his tone both stern and amused. Don't make me regret this. I won't, Eleanor promised, her voice steady despite the storm of emotions inside her. Thank you for trusting me. Walter waved her off with a gruff smile. But Eleanor didn't miss the way his gaze lingered on her as she walked away. He was testing her even now. Eleanor returned to her room, the weight of her new position settling over her like a cloak. She had achieved her goal, but at what cost? And how long could she keep the truth hidden? As she sat down at her desk, her phone buzzed again. Another message from Lila. Tick-tock, Eleanor. Time's running out. Eleanor stared at the screen, her jaw tightening. The game was far from over, and the next move was hers. Chapter 4. The investigation begins. The storm rolled in during the early hours of the morning, shrouding Harrington Manor in a heavy mist. The thunderous clouds overhead seemed to echo the chaos brewing within its walls. Walter Harrington was dead. Eleanor Kane stood in the study, her gaze fixed on the lifeless body slumped over the massive oak desk. Walter's face was pale, his expression frozen in what could have been pain or shock. The air was thick with the scent of cigar smoke and something faintly acrid that prickled at her nostrils. The staff had gathered in hushed confusion outside the door, their whispers filling the corridor. Claire was the first to speak, her voice trembling. "We need to call the police." Eleanor turned slowly, schooling her features into an expression of stunned grief. "Yes, of course. Call them now." Inside, her mind raced. This wasn't part of the plan. Walter's death should have been a peaceful conclusion, not a sudden, suspicious event. She needed time to think, to assess the situation, but the ticking clock of an investigation loomed large. By mid-morning, the estate was swarming with police. Detectives Eleanor Price and Daniel Cross led the investigation, their contrasting demeanors creating an unsettling dynamic. Price was sharp and meticulous, her piercing gaze missing nothing, while Cross exuded a calm, almost disarming demeanor that masked his razor-sharp instincts. Eleanor sat in the parlor, her hands folded tightly in her lap as Price questioned her. "Miss Kane, can you describe your relationship with Mr. Harrington?" She nodded, her voice measured. "I was his personal assistant. He trusted me with his affairs and relied on me to manage his day-to-day needs." Price's eyes narrowed. "Trusted you enough to name you his sole heir?" Eleanor met her gaze, feigning a combination of humility and surprise. "I was as shocked as anyone when he told me. He said he saw potential in me, and he wanted someone who would protect his legacy." Cross chimed in, his tone almost conversational. "And you had no reason to believe anyone would harm Mr. Harrington?" "No," Eleanor said firmly. "He had his share of rivals, of course, but nothing that seemed serious." Price leaned forward slightly. "Miss Kane, were you aware that Mr. Harrington's death is being treated as suspicious?" The question hit like a slap, though Eleanor managed to keep her composure. "Suspicious? No, I wasn't. Do you think someone—" "We're exploring all possibilities," Price said, her gaze unwavering. "Including foul play." The questioning continued throughout the day, with the detectives interviewing every member of the household staff. Eleanor stayed on edge, carefully monitoring their reactions. Victor Marshall, however, was a wild card. When Victor's turn came, Eleanor lingered near the doorway, straining to hear. His voice carried clearly, laced with a venomous undertone. Walter was a good man, but he wasn't naive. If he trusted Eleanor Kane, he had his reasons. But trust can be misplaced. Price's voice was calm but probing. "Are you suggesting Miss Kane had ulterior motives?" Victor hesitated, just long enough for Eleanor's pulse to quicken. "I'm saying she's ambitious. Ambition can be dangerous." Eleanor stepped away before she could hear more, her mind spinning. Victor was planting seeds of doubt, and the detectives would latch onto them like sharks scenting blood. That evening, Eleanor sat alone in her room, replaying the day's events. Walter's death had changed the game, and she was no longer in control of the board. Worse, Lila Graves was still a looming threat, her cryptic messages hinting at an intent to disrupt everything. Her phone buzzed, and Eleanor hesitated before checking the message. "You're in trouble now, sweetheart. Let me know when you're ready to talk. Lila." Eleanor gritted her teeth. Lila's timing was impeccable, as always. She typed a reply tomorrow. Noon. Same place. Satisfied, she set the phone down and turned her attention to the next problem. Victor. He was too clever, too persistent. If she couldn't find a way to neutralize him, he would unravel everything. The next morning, Detective Cross approached Eleanor in the garden, his demeanor deceptively casual. "Miss Kane, I was wondering if you could clarify something for me." "Of course," Eleanor said, forcing a smile. Cross's gaze was steady but unreadable. "You said Mr. Harrington trusted you implicitly. Did he ever discuss any threats to his life?" Eleanor shook her head. "No, he never mentioned anything like that. He was more concerned with his legacy than his safety." Cross nodded thoughtfully. "Interesting. Because we found traces of a substance in his study that suggests otherwise. Eleanor's heart skipped a beat. What kind of substance? That's still under investigation, Cross said smoothly. But it raises questions about the circumstances of his death. Eleanor nodded, keeping her expression neutral.
I see.
Well, I'll do anything I can to help. As the day wore on, Eleanor felt the walls closing in. The investigators were relentless, and Victor's subtle insinuations had sown doubt in their minds. She needed to act, and she needed to do it quickly. That night, she met with Lila in the same dimly lit cafe where their last encounter had taken place. Lila was already waiting, a smirk on her lips as Eleanor slid into the booth. You look stressed, Lila said, her tone mocking. Things not going according to plan. What do you want, Lila? Eleanor snapped, her patience worn thin. Relax, darling. I just want what's fair. A little money to keep my mouth shut, that's all. Eleanor leaned forward, her voice low and dangerous. If you think you can blackmail me, you're making a mistake. Lila chuckled. You're in no position to make threats. I know things, Eleanor. Things that would make your new detective friends very interested in you. Eleanor's mind raced. She needed a way to silence Lila without drawing more attention to herself. But as she left the cafe, she couldn't shake the feeling that her control was slipping, and the noose was tightening. Back at the manor, Eleanor found Victor waiting for her in the library. His expression was grim, and his words were blunt. I know what you're doing, he said. And it's only a matter of time before they figure it out too. Eleanor stared at him, her heart pounding. You don't know anything. Victor stepped closer, his voice dropping to a whisper. I know enough. And if you think you can outmaneuver me, you're in for a rude awakening. Eleanor held her ground, refusing to let him see her fear. We'll see about that. As Victor left, Eleanor sank into the nearest chair, her hands trembling. The investigation was closing in. Lila was circling like a vulture, and Victor was a ticking time bomb. But Eleanor Kane wasn't done yet. She still had moves to make, and she intended to win. Chapter 5. A Dangerous Game. The following morning dawned gray and heavy, the oppressive sky mirroring the tension inside Harrington Manor. Eleanor Kane sat in the dining room, her untouched breakfast growing cold before her. She stirred her coffee absent-mindedly, her thoughts spiraling as she tried to piece together her next move. Detectives Eleanor Price and Daniel Cross were relentless, their questions veiled but piercing. Victor Marshall was fanning the flames of suspicion, and Lila Graves was circling like a vulture. Eleanor felt the weight of her precarious position pressing down on her. The sound of footsteps broke her reverie. She looked up to see Claire entering the room, her expression grim. Detectives Price and Cross are here. They'd like to speak with you. Eleanor set down her spoon, her mask of calm slipping into place. Course. Show them to the study. In the study, Detectives Price and Cross waited, their presence radiating quiet authority. Eleanor entered, her posture poised and confident. Miss Kane, Price began, gesturing for her to sit. We've uncovered some new information regarding Mr. Harrington's death. Eleanor's stomach churned, but she kept her expression neutral. What kind of information? Cross leaned forward, his tone almost casual. We found traces of a rare toxin in Mr. Harrington's system. It's not something one would come across accidentally. Eleanor forced a frown. Are you suggesting he was poisoned? Price nodded slowly. It's a strong possibility. The toxin was administered in a manner that suggests it wasn't self-inflicted. Someone in this house had to be responsible. Eleanor's pulse quickened. And you think I'm a suspect? We haven't ruled anyone out, Price said evenly. But as the primary heir to Mr. Harrington's estate, your motives will naturally come under scrutiny. Eleanor nodded, feigning composure. I understand. I have nothing to hide. We'll see, Cross said, his eyes narrowing slightly. For now, we'll need you to remain available. This investigation is far from over. After the detectives left, Eleanor retreated to her room, the calm facade crumbling the moment she closed the door. She leaned against the wall, her breathing shallow. The stakes had risen dramatically, and she was running out of time to secure her position. Her phone buzzed, pulling her from her spiraling thoughts. It was another message from Lila. "You're not handling this well. Call me before it's too late." Eleanor clenched her jaw, the familiar surge of anger and helplessness rising within her. Lila knew too much, and she was clearly enjoying watching Eleanor squirm. But she couldn't deal with Lila now, not with the detectives watching her every move. That evening, Eleanor sat in the library, poring over Walter's old business records. She needed leverage, something she could use to turn the tide in her favor. As she flipped through the files, a name caught her eye. Victor Marshall Investments. Her pulse quickened as she skimmed the pages. Victor had been involved in a series of questionable financial transactions on Walter's behalf. While not explicitly illegal, the deals skirted the edges of ethical and legal boundaries. If exposed, they could destroy Victor's reputation and his career. A plan began to form in Eleanor's mind. Victor had been circling her like a shark, but now she had a weapon to keep him at bay. The challenge would be wielding it without exposing herself. The next day, Eleanor arranged a meeting with Victor in the conservatory. The sunlight filtering through the glass walls did little to soften the tension between them. "You wanted to see me?" Victor asked, his tone sharp. Eleanor nodded, her expression calm but her eyes gleaming with purpose. "I came across something interesting in Walter's files." Victor's jaw tightened, but he said nothing. "Your name appears quite frequently," Eleanor continued. "It seems you had a creative approach to managing his finances." Victor's eyes darkened. "You don't know what you're talking about." "Oh, I think I do," Eleanor said, her voice low and dangerous. "And I'm sure the detectives would find it fascinating as well." Victor's face hardened, but there was a flicker of unease in his eyes. "What do you want?" "I want you to back off," Eleanor said, her tone icy. "Stop feeding the detectives your insinuations, and leave me alone. Otherwise, your secrets might find their way into the wrong hands." Victor stared at her for a long moment before nodding curtly.
"Fine.
But don't think this makes us allies." "I wouldn't dream of it," Eleanor said with a faint smile. For the first time in days, Eleanor felt a sliver of relief. Victor was neutralized, at least for now. But as she returned to her room, her phone buzzed with a new message. "Nice move with Victor. But you'll need more than that to survive this."
"Lila."
Eleanor's hands shook as she set the phone down. Lila was watching her every move, and she couldn't figure out how. It was as if Lila had someone on the inside. Or worse, access to information Eleanor hadn't even considered. That night, Eleanor lay awake, her mind racing. Walter's death, the toxin, the detectives, Victor, Lila. It was all spiraling out of control. She had always been a master manipulator, but now she felt like a pawn in someone else's game. As the clock ticked toward midnight, Eleanor made a decision. If she wanted to survive, she'd need to go on the offensive. She couldn't wait for her enemies to strike first. The game had entered a dangerous new phase, and Eleanor Kane was determined to come out on top, even if it meant risking everything. Chapter 6. Beneath the Surface. Eleanor Kane spent the morning pacing her room, replaying the events of the past days in her mind. Walter's death, the detective's suspicions, Victor's hostility, and Lila's relentless shadow. It all felt like a noose tightening around her neck. But she wasn't ready to surrender. If she had learned anything in her life, it was that survival required strategy. Her resolve hardened as she opened her laptop and began combing through Walter's files again. There had to be something she had missed, some clue, some leverage that could tilt the scales in her favor. After hours of searching, she found it, a cryptic entry in one of Walter's personal journals. "A debt paid in silence is still a debt unpaid." The phrase was underlined, and beneath it, Walter had scrawled a date, 2 years prior, and a name, Lila Graves. Eleanor's heart skipped a beat. Lila's connection to Walter wasn't just a coincidence. They had history, and whatever it was, it had been important enough for Walter to record it in his private journal. Eleanor snapped a photo of the entry with her phone, her mind racing. If Lila had ties to Walter, she might have had a motive for his death. That afternoon, Eleanor confronted Lila. She didn't invite her to the cafe this time. She drove to Lila's apartment unannounced. The rundown building was a far cry from the opulence of Harrington Manor, and the sight of it filled Eleanor with a strange mix of disdain and curiosity. Lila opened the door with her usual smirk, though her expression faltered when she saw Eleanor standing there. "Well, well," Lila said, leaning against the doorframe. "To what do I owe the pleasure?" Eleanor pushed past her, ignoring the sarcastic tone. "Why didn't you tell me you knew Walter Harrington?" Lila's smirk disappeared entirely. "I don't know what you're talking about." "Don't lie to me," Eleanor snapped, pulling up the photo of Walter's journal entry on her phone and thrusting it in Lila's face. "He wrote about you. What was your connection to him?" Lila's eyes flickered with something Eleanor couldn't quite place. Fear, anger, guilt. Finally, she sighed and sank onto the tattered couch. "We had a business arrangement," Lila admitted, her voice low. "Walter wasn't as squeaky clean as he liked people to think. He hired me a few years ago to deal with some personal matters." "What kind of personal matters?" Eleanor pressed. Lila hesitated, then shook her head. "It doesn't matter now. He's dead, and whatever dirt he was hiding died with him." Eleanor crossed her arms, her gaze icy. "You think the detectives will see it that way? Because if you don't start talking, I'll make sure they find out." Lila's expression hardened. "You're playing a dangerous game, Eleanor. If you dig too deep, you might not like what you find." "Try me," Eleanor said, her voice like steel. After a long pause, Lila spoke. "Walter was being blackmailed. Someone found out about his illegitimate son and threatened to expose it. He hired me to handle the situation." Eleanor's breath caught. This was more than she had bargained for. An illegitimate son. "Who?" "I don't know," Lila said. "Walter never told me. But I tracked down the blackmailer and made them disappear." "Disappear?" Eleanor's voice was sharp. Lila shrugged, her expression unapologetic. "Let's just say they're not a problem anymore." Eleanor stared at her, the weight of the revelation sinking in. Walter's past was more twisted than she had imagined, and now she was entangled in it. Back at the manor, Eleanor mulled over Lila's confession. An illegitimate son and a blackmail scheme added new dimensions to Walter's death. If the blackmailer was gone, who else might have had a motive to kill him? And why had Lila withheld this information until now? Her thoughts were interrupted by Detective Price, who appeared at her door with a grim expression. "Miss Kane, we need to talk." Eleanor's pulse quickened, but she nodded, masking her nerves. "Course. What's this about?" Price stepped inside, her piercing gaze fixed on Eleanor. "We've uncovered new evidence that changes the scope of this investigation." "What kind of evidence?" Eleanor asked, keeping her voice steady. Price handed her a photograph. It showed a set of fingerprints on the edge of Walter's desk, the same desk where he had died. Eleanor's stomach churned as she recognized them. They weren't hers, but she had seen them before. "They belonged to Lila Graves," Price said. "We're trying to determine why someone with no apparent connection to Mr. Harrington would be in his study on the night he died." Eleanor's mind raced. Lila's fingerprints were a gift and a curse. They shifted the detective's focus away from her, but they also tied Lila directly to Walter's death. If Lila cracked under pressure, she might drag Eleanor down with her. "I don't know why Lila would have been in the study," Eleanor said carefully. "But she's an old acquaintance of mine. Maybe she came to me for help, and Walter offered to speak with her." Price's expression didn't waver. "We'll be speaking with her directly. In the meantime, I suggest you think carefully about anything else you might know." Eleanor nodded, her heart pounding as Price left. She had bought herself a little more time, but the web of lies was growing thicker by the day. That night, Eleanor confronted Lila again, this time over the phone. "Your fingerprints are all over Walter's desk," Eleanor hissed. "The detectives are coming for you." Lila's laugh was sharp and humorless. "And how do you think they'll react when they find out you and I go way back? If I go down, I'm taking you with me." Eleanor gritted her teeth, her grip tightening on the phone. "We're in this together whether we like it or not. If you want to survive, you'll do exactly what I say." "And what's that?" Lila asked, her tone mocking. "Stick to the story. Walter called you for help, and you met with him briefly. That's it. No more, no less." "Fine," Lila said after a long pause. "But this better work." Eleanor hung up, her mind racing. She was playing a dangerous game, and the stakes had never been higher. One wrong move could bring everything crashing down. As she stared out the window at the storm rolling in, Eleanor resolved to do whatever it took to protect herself. She had survived too much to let it all end now. Chapter 7. The Final Gambit. The storm that rolled into Harrington Manor that night wasn't just a physical manifestation of Eleanor Kane's unraveling plans. It was a harbinger of chaos. The cracks in her carefully constructed facade were widening, and the forces closing in on her were no longer mere shadows. They had faces, motives, and the power to destroy her. Eleanor sat in the library, her fingers trembling as she sifted through the files she'd collected over the weeks. Walter Harrington's secrets, Lila's lies, Victor's misdeeds. It was all here, scattered like shards of glass, sharp and dangerous. But none of it felt like enough. Her phone buzzed on the desk, a stark interruption to the silence. It was Victor. Eleanor hesitated before answering. "What do you want, Victor?" she asked, her voice flat. "Meet me in the garden." "Now," he said. His tone was curt, almost panicked. Eleanor frowned. Victor never panicked. When she stepped into the garden, the storm was a steady drizzle, the air cold and damp. Victor was standing near the fountain, his hands shoved into the pockets of his coat. He turned as she approached, his face shadowed but his eyes blazing with something Eleanor couldn't place. Fear, anger, desperation. "Are you here to lecture me again?" she asked, crossing her arms. Victor shook his head, taking a step closer. "You don't get it, do you? This isn't just about you anymore. It's about survival." Eleanor raised an eyebrow. "And you think lecturing me about survival is ironic?" "How, exactly?" Victor ignored the jab. "The detectives are circling, Eleanor. They're not idiots. They're piecing things together faster than you realize." "And what exactly are they piecing together, Victor?" she snapped. "That you've been embezzling from Walter for years. Or that Lila's fingerprints are all over the crime scene." Victor's jaw tightened. "I don't care about Lila. I care about the fact that if this blows up, I go down too. We need to work together." Eleanor let out a sharp laugh. "Now you want to work together. After doing everything in your power to undermine me." "I don't like you," Victor said bluntly. "But I dislike prison even more. So are we doing this or not?" Eleanor hesitated, weighing her options. Victor was dangerous, but he was also right. If they didn't find a way to control the narrative, they'd both be consumed by it. "Fine," she said. "What's your plan?" The next morning, Victor and Eleanor met in the study under the pretense of sorting through Walter's papers. In reality, they were building a story, a lie carefully constructed to deflect suspicion. Eleanor would emphasize her loyalty to Walter, painting herself as a grieving protege blindsided by his death. Victor would bolster the narrative, admitting to minor improprieties in Walter's business dealings to distract from the larger scandal. But their fragile alliance was immediately tested when Detective Price arrived, her demeanor colder than usual. "We've made progress," Price announced, her sharp eyes flicking between Eleanor and Victor. "And I have a few more questions for both of you." Victor stiffened, but Eleanor stepped forward, her expression calm. "Course. Anything we can do to help?" Price's gaze lingered on her for a moment before she nodded. "Let's start with you, Miss Kane." The interrogation was relentless. Price's questions were pointed, her tone surgical as she dissected Eleanor's every answer. Eleanor held her ground, her responses polished and deliberate, but inside, she felt the pressure mounting. "Tell me about Lila Graves," Price said suddenly, catching Eleanor off guard. Eleanor blinked, forcing herself to stay composed. "Lila is an acquaintance from my past. She came to me a few days ago asking for help. She was desperate." "Desperate for what?" Price asked, her expression unreadable. "To reconnect," Eleanor said carefully. "She knew about my position with Walter and thought I could offer her a way out of her situation." Price tilted her head. "Her fingerprints were found in Mr. Harrington's study. Care to explain that?" Eleanor hesitated for a fraction of a second, then nodded. "Walter agreed to meet with her. He wanted to help her, but I wasn't privy to their conversation." Price's eyes narrowed, but she didn't press further. "Interesting." When the interrogation ended, Eleanor felt as though she had survived by the skin of her teeth. Price was skeptical, and Eleanor knew the detective wouldn't stop digging. Victor caught her in the hallway as she returned to her room. "You handled that well." "Save your praise," Eleanor snapped. "This is far from over." Victor nodded grimly. "Then we'd better make our next move before they make theirs." That night, Eleanor met with Lila for what she hoped would be the final time. The cafe was nearly empty, the rain outside a steady rhythm against the windows. Lila was already seated, her expression unreadable as Eleanor approached. "We're out of time," Eleanor said, sliding into the booth. "The detectives are on to you. If you don't stick to the story, you'll go down." Lila smirked. "And if I stick to the story, what do I get?" "Your freedom," Eleanor said bluntly. "And a chance to walk away from all of this." Lila leaned back, her eyes narrowing. "And you? What do you get?" Eleanor met her gaze. "Survival." Lila studied her for a long moment before nodding.
"Fine.
But if this backfires, I won't take the fall alone." "It won't backfire," Eleanor said, though the words felt hollow. Back at the manor, Eleanor found herself alone in the library, staring at the fireplace. The flames danced and flickered, casting shadows that seemed to mock her. She had maneuvered herself into a corner, surrounded by lies and half-truths. The alliances she had forged were fragile, built on mutual distrust and desperation. And the detectives were closing in, their suspicions like a noose tightening around her neck. But Eleanor Kane wasn't ready to lose. Not yet. As the clock struck midnight, she made her final decision. She would risk everything to secure her position, no matter the cost. The final gambit was in motion, and there was no turning back. Chapter 8. Legacy in Ashes. The storm had passed by morning, but the air at Harrington Manor remained heavy, laden with tension. Eleanor Kane stood by her window, staring out at the drenched gardens. Today would be decisive. She could feel it in her bones. The carefully balanced house of cards she had built was teetering, and one wrong move could send it crashing down. Her phone buzzed on the nightstand, jolting her from her thoughts. It was a message from Victor. "We need to talk. Urgent." Eleanor frowned, her mind racing. Victor rarely displayed urgency. He was calculated, deliberate. Whatever he had to say, it wasn't good. Victor was waiting in the study, pacing like a caged animal. His usual calm demeanor was gone, replaced by a tension that set Eleanor on edge. "What's going on?" she asked, closing the door behind her. Victor stopped pacing and turned to face her. "They found something." Eleanor's heart skipped a beat. "What do you mean?" Victor ran a hand through his hair, his frustration evident. "The detectives uncovered financial records, ones tying me to Walter's more questionable dealings. And they're linking it to his death." Eleanor's stomach churned. "That doesn't make sense. Why would they think you were involved in his death?" "Because the trail leads directly to me," Victor said, his voice sharp. "And thanks to you, I'm now their primary suspect." Eleanor's mind reeled. She had used Victor's financial misdeeds as leverage, but she hadn't anticipated this. If Victor went down, he wouldn't go quietly, and he'd take her with him. You need to stay calm, Eleanor said, though her own nerves were fraying. We can spin this. We'll. Victor cut her off. Don't patronize me, Eleanor. You think you're so clever, manipulating everyone around you. But your time is up. Eleanor stepped back, her heart racing. What are you talking about? Victor pulled a file from his briefcase and tossed it onto the desk. That's what they'll find next. Proof that you had motive, means, and opportunity. You think you're untouchable, but you've left a trail, just like the rest of us. Eleanor's eyes scanned the documents, her breath catching as she realized what they contained. Emails, bank statements, even a fabricated confession, all pointing to her. You forged this, she said, her voice trembling with fury. Victor smirked, a dangerous gleam in his eyes. Call it insurance. If I go down, you go down with me. Eleanor's mind raced. Victor was dangerous, but he'd underestimated her. He always had. That evening, Eleanor made her move. She slipped into the study under the cover of darkness, her footsteps silent against the thick carpet. The file Victor had assembled was still on the desk. She grabbed it, her heart pounding as she flipped through the pages. If the detectives saw this, it would be the end of her. She pulled a lighter from her pocket and held it under the edge of the papers. The flame caught quickly, devouring the evidence in seconds. The smell of burning paper filled the room as Eleanor watched the ashes scatter, her pulse slowing as the last page curled into embers. But as she turned to leave, she froze. Victor was standing in the doorway, his expression unreadable. Bold move, he said, stepping into the room. But it won't save you. Eleanor straightened, masking her fear with a calm she didn't feel. You have nothing left, Victor. It's over. Victor's smirk returned. You think I'd leave all my leverage in one place? Please. I have copies. Eleanor's composure cracked, her fists clenching. What do you want? Victor leaned against the desk, his tone smug. You're going to take the fall, Eleanor. Confess to everything. Say you acted alone, and maybe I'll consider letting you walk away from this with your life. Eleanor stared at him, her mind racing. Victor had pushed her into a corner, but she wasn't out of moves yet. The next morning, the detectives arrived unexpectedly. Detective Price's expression was colder than usual as she motioned for Eleanor to sit in the parlor. We've received new information, Price said, her tone sharp. Evidence has come to light implicating you in Walter Harrington's death. Eleanor's pulse quickened, but she forced herself to remain calm. What kind of evidence? Price glanced at her partner, then back at Eleanor. Financial records, correspondence, and a witness statement. Care to explain why Victor Marshall claims you manipulated Mr. Harrington into naming you his heir? Eleanor's breath caught. Victor had moved faster than she'd anticipated. She opened her mouth to respond, but before she could, the door burst open. Lila Graves strode into the room, her expression furious. Stop. Price turned to her, frowning. Miss Graves, this is highly irregular. I have evidence, Lila said, cutting her off. Victor Marshall is the one you're looking for. Eleanor's eyes widened as Lila handed a flash drive to Price. Everything you need is on there. Victor's financial schemes, his threats against Walter, and his attempts to frame Eleanor. Price took the drive, her expression unreadable as she motioned for Cross to examine it. The tension in the room was palpable as Cross plugged the drive into his laptop, his eyes narrowing as he scrolled through the files. This changes things, he said after a long moment. Price turned back to Eleanor, her gaze softening slightly. It seems we owe you an apology, Miss Kane. But we'll need to take Victor into custody. Eleanor barely managed a nod, her mind reeling. Lila had saved her, but at what cost? That night, Eleanor found Lila waiting in the library. The tension between them was almost tangible as Eleanor closed the door behind her. Why did you do it? Eleanor asked, her voice low. Lila shrugged, her smirk returning. Call it evening the score. Victor thought he could play me, but he forgot who he was dealing with. Eleanor stared at her, a mix of gratitude and suspicion warring within her. You didn't have to do that. Lila's smirk faded. Don't mistake this for loyalty, Eleanor. You owe me. And one day I'll collect. With that, Lila left, leaving Eleanor alone in the dimly lit room. As Eleanor stared out the window, watching the storm clouds dissipate, she felt a strange mix of relief and unease. She had survived, barely, but the cost of her victory was higher than she'd ever anticipated. Walter's legacy was hers, but it was built on ashes, lies, and betrayal. And somewhere in the distance, she could hear the faint ticking of a clock, reminding her that her past wasn't finished with her yet. The game was over, but the war had just begun.